Here, the old gods are dead.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiya, this is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Hi.
Today we're going to be talking about the ghosts of Stirling Castle. We went there on the weekend. This is actually, this weekend and the weekend before is the first time me and Liam have actually seen each other in person since we started
the podcast. I was so shocked. Like back-to-back weeks. We started a podcast remotely and then back-to-back weeks we're like, let's do something. We saw Rina Sawayama, we saw LGBT things happen, and we went to the castle and made LGBT things happen. So I thought that was quite cute.
Yeah, it was good to see each other again. I think, obviously, we've dispelled the fact that we didn't record in the same room, but I did think it was like quite unusual that we had maybe went since the start of August without seeing each other.
Yeah, although after seeing her, like, I'm really sorry to tell everyone, but this is going to be the last fucking hate. No, I'm kidding.
As we said, we went to Stirling Castle at the weekend in prep for this. We were hunting some ghosties. We were like Derek Okora, or is it David Okora? I can't remember.
And it's David.
What's
is
that?
Yeah.
What's that bitch called for Most Wanted? Yvette Fielding.
Yeah.
We were there scouting the place out for ghosts.
It didn't feel that haunted.
It didn't.
I don't know about the hype, but I didn't feel it to be that haunted, so it couldn't be that haunted. And although there was one area.
We would ken if it was haunted.
Yeah.
Because we're Celtic girlies who know.
I think I'd know a little more than you do, genius. You
know? So Stirling Castle sits on top of a volcanic rock above the town of Stirling, much like Edinburgh Castle. It looks a lot like Edinburgh Castle. Anybody from Stirling or Edinburgh, please don't come at me with that. They literally look quite similar.
They do.
It's seen the Scottish Wars of Independence, both of them. It's been home to William Wallace, Robert the Bruce. It's been captured by the English several times. And it was most notably the court of the Scottish royal family.
That kind of sounds like, you know, the video of Gwyneth Paltrow, and she's like,
oh my god,
I laughed, I danced, I cried a number of times, I got a shot, and had many epiphanies.
Stirling Castle. Notably, it was the childhood home of Mary Queen of Scots, and then her son, James V. Just thought I would get him in really quick, because he's not coming back up again. Mary's dad famously commissioned the royal apartments to be decorated in the French Renaissance style. So it was once like covered in... weren't they all? So it was like covered in like huge tapestries, like ornate wooden heads that like decorated the ceilings. Unfortunately, James died no long after the apartments were finished near enough. So he never got to see them in their like full glory. Mary Queen of Scots didn't either, because she spent like a majority of her time in France.
In a dungeon.
Yeah, in France, and then in a dungeon. In several dungeons. But by the time that James VI had his court in Stirling, he obviously grew up there and got to enjoy it and stuff, but he was then crowned king of Scotland and England by the time that Elizabeth I of England had died. So he moved the entire court down to England. And I think either during, like, the art was either destroyed, like all these tapestries and interiors and stuff, or some of it was actually moved to England. So in the last, like, decade or so, they've restored the royal apartments to Stirling Castle. And we did see this, and they're very gorge, very gorgeous.
No, they were... All of the seats said, do not sit. And I'm like, well, how are you going to make a seat that looks like that and tell me not to sit in it? Like, that looked so good. Like, it was like these, like, opulent little velvet numbers.
With lights right above. Me and Liam had the whole throne room to ourselves. And I was...
We should.
Exactly. But I was like, come on, we'll sit on the thrones. And Liam told me no, because he thought we would get kicked out. And honestly, to sit on a throne, because we were nearly done with the tour anyway, and nobody was there, and I think we should have just done it. Like, it would have been a good opportunity.
Also, like, imagine we had gotten banned from, like, every, like, historic Scotland landmark, and we were, like, running this podcast, this Scottish historic podcast. Like, if we were barred from all of this, we'd kind of, like... Then people are just going to know that I'm, like, on Wikipedia 90% American. Like, you
know? Well, Historic Environment Scotland, I'm waiting for my check for the promo that we did, because it kind of went off on Twitter and it went off on Instagram. So if you want to see pictures of me and Liam hanging about Stirling Castle and, like, have a look in the background for...
My ass is ridiculous.
Yeah, Liam's bum got us, like, loads of likes.
I got 6 people in my DM saying I had a nice bum. Like, this is, like, huge. Speaking of huge, my ass.
Like, no seeing the pictures are fully going to think that your bare arse is it breaking the internet in Stirling Castle.
No, I was just wearing jeans that, like... We're nice.
Anyway, our episode isn't about Liam's arse, and it isn't about the like the deep history of, like, the Wars of Independence and stuff like that. It's actually today we're going to be talking about some ghosty girlies that reside in Stirling Castle. So, Liam, do you want to share your first ghosty lady?
Oh yes, as per usual, we're talking about women because I love women on this podcast. So I'm going to start by talking about the Pink Lady. Like, there's going to be several different ladies, but we're going to start with who I think is the cuntiest of the several. So basically, not like the Pink Ladies from Greece. Like, this isn't going to be Rizzo. Although, Dockyer Channing was 33 years old when she played Rizzo on Greece. So, like, it is, like, plausible to actually... like, extrapolate the fact that this could be her ghost. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. The geriatric 18-year-olds on Greece, and, like, if you turn around in the graveyard, you just hear, Sandy! So the Pink Lady of Stirling Castle is a spectre that's been spotted on numerous occasions. And, like the other coloured divas of Stirling Castle, she's noted by, like, the garments that she wears. So she seemed to be wearing, like, a pink sort of dress. So she is said to, like, stalk the kirkyard, like, cemetery area of the castle, and she walks between this place and the castle itself at nighttime. And this sort of aspect of her doesn't change at all. Like, that's where she's spotted and that's how she's seen. However, where there is debate upon this woman is who it is. Who is this ghost? Because, like, sometimes spectres are just, like, apparitions of, like, the energy of the place. But
like, residual hauntings, like, where it just gets something caught and repeat.
Yeah, exactly. But she's actually thought to be a person. But there's two people that all sort of argue about who this could be. So the first train of thought is that this is a ghost of, like, a noblewoman who was engaged to, like, a knight of the castle during the siege that was led by Edward I in April 1304. An interesting fact I actually learned about this siege. Did you know Stirling Castle was the last stronghold in Scotland not taken by the English following, like, the Battle of Falkirk in 1298?
So they got them all apart from that.
Apart from Stirling.
What's so special?
I mean, I don't know, but I guess you did say all the people that were on that throne. I guess it was important. No disrespect to Stirling, but how the mighty have fallen.
Like, we have, like, anyway, 2 listeners in Stirling. Like, maybe it's all right.
Babe, I'm so sorry, but, like, also, I mean, it is a pretty town, and your charity shop to go off, like, the charity shop in Stirling go off, but, like, you wouldn't expect it to be the last stronghold, like, going there. Anyway, so, yeah, they thought that, like, during the siege, like, a lot of the soldiers, the lower-ranking soldiers, starved because they weren't fed as well, because one of the big battle tactics was to, like, wait them out so they couldn't get any import-export going on.
Mm-hmm.
And her lover starved during it, and she lived, like, in the, like outskirts, sort of, like, not by the castle, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And soon after him dying, she just died, like, of a broken heart. And now she gets more melodramatic. I respect her for this. But she apparently now wanders the kirkyard, waiting until the day of rapture, the day of reckoning from God, so that they can be reunited in the face of God himself. Like...
Okay, Kate Bush.
No, literally, she's running up that hill. And what a hill. Oh my God. Okay, right.
What a hill. Like, what a hill.
What a hill. We were stopping to, like, duel, etc., and it was just like...
What about when we were talking? We were talking to this, like, woman who works at Stirling Castle, and she was like, did you run up that hill, aye? And we were both like, didn't say it, didn't say it, didn't say it, like, trying not to say to make a deal with God.
But, like, deadass, the pink lady runs up that hill to make a deal with God.
So, how,
like,
melodramatic.
Could never. So that's the first train of thought. But there's a second train of thought where this is actually supposed to be the ghost of a lady named Mary Witherspoon.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Of Witherspoon's fame.
Oh my God, yeah, literally, Reese Witherspoon. Oh. Okay, so the ghost of Reese Witherspoon. No, so this woman, like, supposedly she died in the early 1800s, mm-hmm. and she was a victim of, like, resurrection men, like grave robbers, body snatchers, broken hair, which is, like, the only documented case of it happening in Stirling. Like, there's, like, it didn't happen a lot there, apparently. It was more like Edinburgh that was mm-hmm. associated with this sort of crime. And so, basically, if you don't know what, like, a resurrection man is, it's, like, someone who takes a body from a grave and then gives it to, like, surgeons so that they can, like, practice their anatomy and dissection and all that jazz. Mm. No, my mum told me we swear too much on the podcast, and I feel like I can hear myself going, like, trying not to swear. Mum, I'm sorry, but, like, if I need to say shit, fuck, cunt, I need to say shit, fuck, cunt.
Anyway, it is explicit,
Mum. Yeah, exactly, it's rated E. Supposedly, after her body was stolen, her wraith appeared seeking to be reunited with her body. Ooh. And apparently, before you see her ghost, you will smell rose blossom in the air, which is her favourite scent. But also, that's weird because there's no, like, rose blossoms around Stirling Castle, so, like, that's why it's, oh, a ghost. But isn't that fun? Like, I'm like, I mean, I just assume I was having a stroke, but at least some people, like, make whimsy out of it. Yeah, but I personally feel the first story is more likely, not just as, like, some teary-eyed romantic, which I most certainly am. I love a chick flick. But, so, like, there's, like, a thing about in folklore globally where, like, colours of female ghosts mean things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a white lady is a very famous tale, and it's usually a woman who's been, like, murdered or, like, sometimes commits suicide due to, like, unrequited love.
Yeah.
And red ladies are, like, women who are crimes of passion, like a prostitute murdered after, like, sex or something.
Yeah.
And I just like the thought that, like, the color in between, like, pink is, like, someone who, like, died of a broken heart. Like, it's also love related. And then she just, like, that's where she died. I like that concept. So that's what I believe. But sound off in the comments on the post if you disagree, and I will tell you why you're wrong. Yeah, so, Becca, are you talking about the green lady? Yeah.
Yes, the green girly. So there's also two trains of thought with this one. One is, like, really romantic, and then the other one is also kind of romantic, depending on who you are. I think it could be the potential for, like, another kind of portrait of a lady on fire kind of, like, lesbian period drama. But before we get to that, I'll tell you about the first, like, tell any of this story. So the Green Lady, some say that she was the daughter of a commander at the fort at Stirling, because it's a fortress for the like Argyll Sutherlanders, is that what they're called? Part of the army. So she's said to have flung herself with the tower onto the ragged rocks below in sorrow after her cruel father had actually ended her romance with a common soldier boy by having him executed. So she was like, right, Dad, I'll show you. And then yeeted herself off the castle. I don't know how I feel about that one, because she does, the spectre is said to hang about the like, there's like a terrace that like goes, wraps around the entire castle and you can walk along it. She is said to like haunt the steps.
Oh yeah, that terrace, by the way, tried to take me out several times.
Historic like Environment Scotland, we'll be getting involved for a claim.
We'll hear from my lawyer. Like there was one bit where like the sign that said be careful of like sharp drops was covered by like a COVID protection sign, and I was like, oh, you can't see that one. Becca, push me. Becca, push me. And we will make a claim. Anyway, yeah, it tried to take me out. Like some of the rocks are like, because I joked about making a claim, and then I actually did nearly fall.
One eye open.
If you go, be careful.
Yeah. So the other theory is that she was actually a serving girl. Guess which monarch she was a serving girl of.
No. I don't think I want to.
It's Mary Queen of Scots. It's Noah James.
I was going to say James VI. Okay, never mind. Read my fun.
So in 1562, Mary Queen of Scots returns to Stirling and Scotland after 2 decades growing up in France and being engaged to the Dauphin of France, but he passed away really young, so then she comes back to Scotland and joins the court in Stirling. The serving girl was said to have the gift of foresight because she was a Highland girlie.
Yes, and maybe.
She had a premonition that if Mary slept even one night within the castle, she would no live to see another dawn. So fearfully, she tells Mary her premonition, and Mary's like really polite and like listens to her and stuff. And she's like, right, don't worry about it. You can watch her me while I sleep if it makes you feel better. She doesn't really believe her, but she like lets her sit by the bed and guard her.
Yeah.
So Mary's really tired for her whole journey to France and then all the way through Scotland. She falls asleep basically as soon as she hits the pillow. And then the girl, who's really concerned that if Mary wakes up, she'll be scared in the dark. So she puts a candle by her bed to make sure that if she wakes up, she's not going to be scared of the dark, which I think is really sweet. And I'm getting like big queer vibes for this.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I see what you mean by portrait of a lady on fire. Like, okay, you may watch me sleep if you wish. I'm getting very much that. I can see this being a period drama. Why can't there be like modern lesbian romance? Why does it always have to be sad period drama?
I know, but I'm a sucker, so... Oh. This is like, this is honestly like Mary Queen of Scots fan fiction. So the girl's like basically sitting for hours into the wee hours of the night, and she's like basically just staring at this candle because what the fuck else is there today? And she's getting really, really tired, her eyes are getting heavy, and she's like, oh, what harm could come in me like shutting my eyes for like a few minutes? And a few minutes later, she's like, wow, like, has dawn come so early? Like, because she's got her eyes shut, but she can see how bright it is in the room. Lo and behold, she opens her eyes, and the whole room is on fire. Like, so it's a big four-poster bed. The linens that are draped across the bed are on fire. The tapestries are on fire, etc. So the candle that she had so carefully lit and, like, placed beside the bed, the cot, had, like, set fire, and she tried to...
It really was portrait of a lady on fire.
Celine Sciamma like needs to like reference this. Anyway, she's shaking Mary to try and wake her up, but the smoke inhalations like obviously rendered her unconscious. So this servant bundles Mary into her arms, like I need a hero, and starts to like run for the door.
Oh my god, Shrek and Fiona.
Yeah,
oh my god.
Basically. So she's the flames are like catching onto this woman's dress, her green dress, notably. Obviously we ken that Mary lived for another 20 or more years until she died on the block in England, but we didn't ken much of the fate of the servant. But so many like members of staff early years and like soldiers and stuff have seen this apparition of this woman in green. So it can only be thought that in an effort to save her queen, that this lassie's obviously either died for her injuries. Because even if she was like only like licked by a few flames, like infection would have been really, really common at that point.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
She's
and no penicillin.
So it's either like smoke inhalation or it's like some kind of like septicemia that's like caused her to die. But people who work in the castle kind of treat her as a harbinger of death and bad luck. So they say that if she's spotted, she's an omen for like something bad about to occur, just like on the night she died. And that's the Green Lady. I thought that one was quite good.
So glad we did not see her. And also, yeah, I was really into that.
That was really romantic. Yeah. So.
Yeah, definitely lesbian vibes. Well, not lesbian. Women love women. But yeah.
There's something fruity about that. Anyway, who's our next ghoul?
Okay, so there are rumors of many ghosts. It's like a progressive pride flag of ghosts that are named in Stirling Castle. So there are legends of black ladies, blue ladies, green, white, pink. But, like, I couldn't find much more on them. But my next one was going to be about the Black Lady of Stirling Castle, who's been seen a number of times. There's not really much known on her, but she haunts, like, the back walk of the castle. And there's speculation that she's, like, Bobbin Shea. I don't know how to pronounce that. We tried to say it so many times.
I didn't think we had anything Gaelic to say. Is it not?
Yeah.
Is it not Bobbin Shea?
I thought it was Bobbin Shea.
You came last.
Anyway.
We didn't speak Gaelic, and we actually do hear a Gaelic consultant. And
yeah, we had it robbed from us.
Yeah, apologies, Alice. So
sorry, I meant to ask. I forgot. Anyway, she haunts the back wall of the castle, but she's supposedly I'm just going to say a banshee, I'm sorry.
Okay.
The Gaelic is lost on me. And, like, there's speculation she's a banshee who lost her child and now takes this out on, like, strangers that cross her path in the most melodramatic, I'm in pain, so I'll kill you kind of way, which I can kind of relate to, but, like, babe, take a Xanax.
She's anti-vax.
Yeah, she's anti-vax. Like, anyway... from reading as well, I also saw bits about like a blue lady who they think is Mary Queen of Scots, like mourning the death in her child, mourning her own death in her childhood home.
Okay.
But like literally every ghost in the castle is like rumored at some point to be like, oh, this could be Mary Queen of Scots, and they're like, oh my god,
she's
literally just changing outfits to stunt on the girls. Like, like she's not haunting them because she's like mourning. She's like, I'm dead, but I'm going to make the most of it. The world is my runway now.
Honestly, I think like every like tourist attraction in Scotland is always like, and this ghost is said to be Mary Queen of Scots, or has like some like roundabout twist and turn to make it a bit Mary Queen of Scots. If Mary Queen of Scots was haunting her childhood home, she would either be... No, she would just be in France. Like, she would just be in France.
Yes, literally.
Because obviously
there's no way around it. Like, she would just be in France.
Yeah. For like, obviously she, like, loved Scotland. But, like, if you spend 20 years in a place, like, what was she, like, nearly 20? She was, like, 16, 17 maybe when she came back to Scotland, if that.
Yeah. Yeah, she's on her wee baguette shit, but...
She didn't spend a lot of time here, because, like... She was obviously was imprisoned in Lochleven Castle, but then that was only for like a wee stint, and then she was in England for like 16 years or something. Nobody fact check me on this. Like, I am actually just going on a tangent. But I feel like a lot of ghosts in Scotland like try to like pick a name that will give you hits, and that is it. But, like, obviously she's our most romantic monarch, so.
Yeah, but that's all I have on the girls. Well, your next segment is a surprise to me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we were going to go through all the different coloured girlies, but when we were there in Stirling Castle, there is a part of the castle, a garden that's called the Douglas Garden. It's named so because the 8th Earl Douglas was actually murdered there. So the 8th Earl Douglas was part of a powerful Scottish family who were actually descendants of the Black Knight Douglas. He was like the right-hand man of Robert the Bruce. Like, when Robert the Bruce died, he basically took Robert the Bruce's heart and was said to, like, have tried to go on a crusade of it because that's what Robert the Bruce wanted. He wanted his heart to be buried in the Holy Land, but the Black Knight Douglas didn't actually make it. That sounds kind of gay, too, but...
yeah. God, people are so melodramatic. Like, take my heart to the Holy... Okay, girl.
So, after the Black Knight Douglas dies, during his life, he was, like, gaining a lot of land, and this land just expanded as time went on. So, by the time that the 8th Earl of Douglas comes around, yeah, he was highly influential in the Scottish court, and by the time that the young James II took the throne in 1437, Douglas made such a favourable impression on him that he was rapidly made Lieutenant General in the kingdom. So,
girl boss.
This family is actually like part of like the Scottish Game of Thrones kind of story. I'm going to save that for another day, and we'll revisit this murder because it's a good way to wrap that story up. But this family like are truly like inspired. Like a whole storyline in Game of Thrones. Like it is like the Red Wedding kind of thing. It was frequently in court in Stirling until about 1450 when he withdrew temporarily from public life to go on a pilgrimage to Rome to celebrate the Jubilee that year. So he was favourably received by Pope Nicholas V, but he had hurried back to Scotland in April 1451 after he had heard that there was plots to ruin his reputation with the king. His fears would appear to have been justified, as his good favour with the monarch was indeed short-lived. King James actually believed that Douglas was involved in a plot against the crown led by Alexander Lindsay, 4th Earl of Crawford, also known as Earl Beardy. So, like, James II is, like, really... His childhood was, like, quite troubled, and he doesn't appear to be all wet, and he was, like, really influential. Like, a lot of people were behind him pulling the strings. So, this Earl
Beardy... Yeah, I can relate as being, like, someone who's, like, pretty and well received and like charismatic, but also a little bit like away with the fairies.
I'll just do what like, anybody says.
Yeah, he gets me. I could be him.
So King James basically wants to banish Lord Douglas from his court, so he summons him to the palace at Stirling. And the Earl arrived and was invited to dine with the king the following evening on the 20th of February, 1452. The king urges him to break off all dealings with the Earl of Crawford, and he refuses. The 22-year-old king, in a moment of violent passion, drew his dagger and stabbed the Earl of Douglas 26 times in the neck and the shoulder. And these wounds were actually not fatal for some reason. It said that the last blow for the Earl was a one to the head with an axe that came through like a courtier that had like rushed through the door. And then his mangled body was then thrown through a second story window into the garden below. His body was then afterwards said to have received about 30 wounds. And then the garden where his body fell is now known as the Douglas Garden. And there's a stained glass window with a family crest of Douglas that marks the spot for where he was thrown. And me and Liam visited this garden, and there's like, there's a rowan tree, there's a standing stone. You can see the stained glass window. I'll put up a picture of that because it's actually quite beautiful for the inside, but we couldn't find that part on the inside. I don't know if it's open to the public. But this area of the castle is very ooky spooky. Like,
this is the only bit where I was like, I guess I could feel some sort of like stagnant ghostly being if I like got into it. Like I could feel one around me right now.
Felt so kind of like sluggish when we were there.
It had vibe.
Yeah,
it had the, and also there was this weird like black grass stuff, and I was like, I've never seen that before, and it's giving me bad vibes.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to go and you want to feel the spookiness, either I'd probably say like, I don't know if you can go anywhere near it at night, but maybe you can go to like the kirkyard at night.
Well, it is winter right now, and the castle is open till 5 p.m. So even if you went at like 3 o'clock, you'd definitely be spooking yourself out. So I would recommend that because we were there at like 11 o'clock in the morning, and we were still kind of.
It was bright.
I was fucking shitting myself, but
yeah, no, that garden was Although, yeah, the garden was also a place where I nearly fell off the wall, so maybe there was a ghost trying to get me.
So,
But I love that he, like, did a pilgrimage to Rome and then was like, you know what, I'm going to try and die like Julius Caesar as well and be stabbed with a bunch of things. Like, I respect.
The fact that, like, he had heard that his reputation might, like, be on the line and then immediately went, must return to Scotland, which would have took months at that time. To, like, go all the way from Italy back to Scotland, and then the king still had patience to, like, try and calm him down. But the king was basically convinced that, like, every single person in his court was against him.
Why are all the kings of Scotland like this?
I know. I might do the reason why I think James II is so ill in a future episode. No, I definitely will. I don't know if I'll do it next, but, like, it would explain a lot of, like, why his temper snapped in such a way that a king would murder somebody.
Did he have mental illness?
Something really horrible happened to him in his childhood. Today with the Douglases, which was also, like, a plot that was basically put together by his court, just like this one was. Somebody is in the background, they, like, the whole of James II's life, like, moving pieces around to make sure that it's not really the king that's in power and that the king, like, has certain people executed and stuff like that.
Again, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I hate
to see it, but
it is one of
no,
the.
No, it's true. It's true.
It's true. It's true. But I think.
Is that true?
It's very true. I think the next episode I will do that. So, yeah, Liam, you can take your.
That's a lot.
You can take your foot off the gas for the next episode, and I'll just do that story because it would make sense to do it next, and then I'll kind of tie it back into the story that I've just told. So,
Okay. Good.
That's Stirling Castle and all its wee ghosties. Remember to rate and review us wherever you listen. Share us with your pals. Follow us on Twitter at The Creepy Wee Pod and follow us on Instagram at The Creepy Wee Podcast. And follow us on TikTok at The Creepy Wee Podcast. We've just started posting there.
Gen Z now. We're TikTokers.
We're cool. Bye.
Yeah.
That's us. You want to say bye, Liam?
Bye.
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 Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.